Isaiah chapter 64. And you know, when I was thinking about the service today, as I've been speaking to some people while they've been here as well, it's amazing how the Lord ties things together. And I believe that's the case again this morning. Isaiah 64, verse 1, is an amazing portion of Scripture. And let's just read what it says in God's holy word. This is the word of God. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. I could read on, but I want to stop there. I'm going to read it again. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. I wonder if you've really thought, you know, we sometimes pray, Lord, we need revival in this land of ours today. Lord, we need to, for you to move, Heavenly Father, in great Holy Spirit power. Father, would you rend the heavens and come down? Do we realize what we're asking God to do? Let's remember, the whole of creation was created out of the mouth of our God. He breathed it out, and it was so. The power that must have been in that is absolutely tremendous. The very breath of God can create life, universe, the earth in which we live. And we are coming before Almighty God, and we're asking him, Lord, would you rend the heavens and come down to be with us once again? Dear brothers, sisters, friends, do we realize what we're asking for? The very might of God to be present in our land once again. Oh, it sounds so amazing. Oh Lord, if you would but have your way again in Scotland and indeed throughout the world. But do we really understand what we're asking? Remember how the Lord in 6 days created the earth. He rested on the seventh. And everything that he created was good. He said so. Included Adam and Eve. And then, of course, we know the story of the serpent who, well, did the serpent speak to Eve? Or was it Adam? Was it the woman's fault or was it the man's fault? It was both. Because they were both to. Of course, the enemy has a tremendous way of getting in there with the doubt, isn't he? Are you sure that's what God really said? Then we have the whole thing of sin entering and undoing the good that God has done. We see then also the very fact that things go from bad to worse. We find that Noah and his family are there. And God decides that he will flood the whole earth. He showed his might in that. Let's wipe this out and start again. And that's exactly what he did. But again, man in their sinful nature, we go back to everything that we know that is wrong. Almighty God, who's in his throne of grace in heaven, looking down upon us, and he sees what's going on, And he says, I need to send my son down there. My beloved son. He needs to sort things out once and for all. The very power of heaven itself came to earth as a baby. And that baby grew up to be the man that we know and love as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you remember when we read about the very fact of how the Romans took Jesus and flogged him after a mistrial and then nailed him to a tree till his death? When they wanted to make sure he was dead, so they used a spear. They laid him in a tomb. But can you remember the power that came upon the place? Even when he died on that cross. The very earth itself shook with such a tremendous force that even some of the graves were open. And the veil split from top to bottom. That very veil that veiled the Holy of Holies. It was rendered to allow us to come before Almighty God. That's power. Power. And of course we know our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, interceding for us. He knows us all by name, every single one of us. And he brings our thoughts and our prayers before Almighty God. That's power. But oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, Lord. Do we know what we're really asking? In Judges chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. Can we imagine such power that the earth was quaking at the very footsteps of God? Have any of you here been in an earthquake? Have you experienced what it's like to be shaken around all over the place? Absolutely no control of what's going on. It's frightening, believe me. But to know that the very footsteps of God would be on this land, wow, that sends shivers up and down my spine. Even at the very thought of it. Psalm 18 verses 7 to 15 says this, the earth trembled and quakes, and the foundation of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundation of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. Wow. Would we like to experience all that on our earth? Psalm 144, verse 5, it says, part your heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains so that they smoke. You know, we're seeing tremendous things happening on our earth today. There are earthquakes like we've never seen before. There are floods that we have never seen before. There are famines that we have never experienced. And I don't just mean in food and water. There is a famine across this world of ours today. And it's all, it would appear anyway, all bad news. But you know, we have a mighty God who is in control of all of this. Because he made it. He knows what it's all about. He knows how we feel as individuals, as humans, with sinful hearts. Because his Son has been here, he has walked this earth. He has seen the problems that we experience, even today. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. But you know, when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, things change so much. Because yes, we feel that very power that shakes the mountains. Deep inside of our very soul is being touched by that mighty force. So much so that we can no longer be the same person. We have to be new. We have been made new. A new creation in Jesus. Romans 8:23 says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit growing inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Do you fear the mountain quakes that are going on just now? Do you fear the God, do you revere the God who has made this universe? That indeed by his very footsteps, the whole earth shakes. I think I've shared this with you before, but I'll do so again, because how many of us love thunderstorms? I do. I just love them. Take it, I'm the only one here. Two. Oh, there's more, there's more. There's more, there's more. Good stuff. And we follow too. Brilliant. I love to watch a thunderstorm. We have a big window in our sitting room, and we have vertical blinds on it. And it's a rule in our house, it's an unwritten rule, but everybody who enters our sitting room learns very, very fastly that she who must be obeyed has decreed that no one but no one would touch the blinds. So it's with fear and trepidation that I go and gingerly pull the cord at the side and open the blinds. Then I can see God's creation. As the lightning strikes and the wind blows and the rain bounces down upon the ground, and I think, this is amazing. I love it. I love it. I can stand and watch it all day. I think it's just great. And one of my greatest joys is actually to put a piece of praise music on that coincides with the swaying of the trees and everything. It's just lovely. Yeah, call me nuts if you like. But I just love it. I love to see my Heavenly Father in control of everything. Are we awaiting the day of the redemption of our bodies? As I get older, I get up to get out of bed in the morning, and I think this bed really starting to creak, you know. And then Joan says, it's actually not the bed, it's yourself that's doing the creaking.
this old body, I mean, the Word of God tells us that this is a tent. It's going to wear out. It's only going to last for a certain time. But He has promised, that God, Almighty God, has promised that if we put our trust in Jesus, then we will live eternally with Him. We'll be given a new body. Wow. I'm looking forward to that all the time. Is that right, sister? Praise God. We are. We're looking so forward to that very day. When there's no more aches and pains, no more sadness, no more sorrow. A new body. Now, there's a whole load of debates going on, and I'm not going into this today, but some theologians will state that perhaps our new body will be equal to our 30-year-old's. I don't know. Is that true? Acts 17:11. Look it up for yourself. See what you find. But wouldn't it be nice for those of us who are just slightly over 30 to know what it's like to have that 30-year-old body again? When we're super fit, active. And all of you young people who have still reached that age are thinking, 30, that's dead old, church. What would be massive. But there's a day coming that our God and all His might and all His glory is going to give us new bodies. When all these worries of the things that are going on in earth, when He shows His real power, and believe you me, friends, there is a day coming when God will reveal His real power on this earth. It's a day of wrath that is coming upon those who will not bow the knee before Jesus. You see, God has given us every opportunity to get back to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But there's a day coming that He's going to take that grace away. Of grace will finish, and it will turn to a day of wrath. Now, we can be quite frightened now when we hear of the earthquakes and all the rest of it. But how frightened would we be if we were before the throne of grace and God says, "Depart from me, I never even knew you." You would not bow to the knee before my Son Jesus. Those are horrible words to hear. Horrible words to put into practice. Our God is a loving God, of course He is. He loves each and every single one of us. And He would want none of us to perish, to go to hell. He has given us a way out through Christ. And for those who refuse, they will have to pay the consequences. Our bodies will be redeemed. And we will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus if we accept Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you see Him going into heaven." You see, the Word of God tells us that when Christ left here, remember when He ascended to heaven, the disciples actually saw Him go. And He gave them a promise that He will return. He will return. And He's coming back for His church. Does that mean everyone in the church? Or does it mean that He is coming back for those who know and love Him? There's a big difference there. I remember speaking to an American guy, and we were talking about the very fact of being part of a church. And, you know, does that qualify us for heaven? And he said, George, surely that can't be the case. And I said, well, how do you mean? He says, well, if going to church and attending church makes you a Christian, then surely going to McDonald's must make you a hamburger. It's a good argument, isn't it? So it's coming back to an attitude of heart. Where are we in Christ? Do we know, as many people do, as a prophet who came and died and that was it? Or do we know him as the Son of God who left his throne in glory, came here to earth to die for us, that his blood might be shed for the redemption of our sins? You see, Jesus didn't mess around. He gave his all. Everything. And he gladly went to that cross for you and for me. He laid down his life that we might have eternal life with him in heaven. Defeating the very nature of sin itself and conquering death. This is the God whom we serve. This is the God who, in his wonderful glory, love, peace, has decreed that he will come back for those who know and love him. When will this happen? I have no idea. But it will come in one of two ways. We will either be with him in death when this body gives up and we leave this earth to be with him, or it will happen when he returns, not to set foot on the earth. Let's not get mixed up with the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the church. Because when the trumpet blast is heard, it says that in an instant people will be gone from this earth and we will meet with our Lord in the sky and we'll go to be with him. Isn't that wonderful? Then it tells us about this baby who came to be our Redeemer, the one who brought us back to God and brought us back to God. This very same Jesus who came as a baby will return as a conquering king in all his might and authority. Somebody once asked me one time, George, are there animals in heaven? I said, well, there are certainly horses, because the Lord Jesus is coming back in a white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back with those who were raptured. We'll be in his army. And we will be coming back to defeat the enemy. You often sing it, don't we? We are in the army of God. Put your armor on, because that day is nearer today than it was at any other time. Are you excited, church? Are you excited about the power of God? Are you excited that God one day will rend the heavens and come down to be with his people? Yes. I get excited about the whole aspect. I've not only been born again by the precious Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Christ that was shed freely on that cross. But also the promise that he has said, George, you and other thousands, millions of other people like you who have given their lives to Christ will spend eternity with me in heaven. But there's more. I love that wee Irish comedian. There's more, there's more. Come here, come here, come here. There's more. Because it tells us that one day we will rule and reign with Christ. Wow. Rule and reign with Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Folks, are you waiting on the return of Christ? Are you ready for the very fact that Christ will indeed rend the heavens and come down? Are you excited about that very prospect? Or are you frightened about it? Such power unleashed on this land. I'm excited, folks. I am excited about what God will do. Isaiah 25 verse 9 says, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. You see, it's nothing that we can ever do or have done. We don't need to do anything. Christ has done it all. All we have to do is to surrender to him and his majesty. And all these things are ours for the taking, for the asking. Revelation 22 verse 20 says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I wonder, is there anyone here who prays the prayer, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus? I do often. I do often. I think this whole earth has to be shaken by the glory of God. People have to come to the fact again that God must be revealed. He alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is majestic. He is almighty. He is magnificent. He is awesome. He and only he. Titus 2 verse 13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You know, brothers, sisters, friends, we live in a society today that has no hope. They already think that all is lost. And to a large degree, for a lot of people, that is true. Solely because they have turned their back on Almighty God. Think of when Scotland flourished. It was a nation under God. And that's why we flourished. Look at the state of it now, because man has decreed that there is no God. We've paid the price for that. Our God does not lie. And here in this wonderful book, it is given as God's word, not man's. God's word. And in here we will find the truth, and that truth will indeed set us free. not just for now, but for all eternity. Such is the love that God has for each and every one of us. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Wow. You know, if there's any grandparents in here today, you'll understand what I'm about to say, but we have a granddaughter of 11 and two grandsons, 11 and 7. And about 3 years ago, our granddaughter had turned to her mum and she said, "You know, mum, this house that we live in here, it's a hotel." And her mum says, "Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. That's how you treat it at times." And she said, "No, mum, I'm serious. You see, this isn't our home. Our home is in heaven." How profound is that from a young person? Because she knows that she knows that she knows that she will spend eternity in heaven. The earth is not our home, folks. We are aliens in a strange land. That's why we don't fit in. Because this land is not our home. Our souls are in anguish because we want to be with our Heavenly Father in heaven. Then, as we walk the streets of gold, we can say, "I'm home. This is what God has for me as a follower of Christ." Do we want to, as Isaiah had said in 64 verse 1, do we want to see God rend the heavens and come down? Oh yes. Yes. In his great might and power. Because it's he is the only one that can save us from everything that's going on in this earth just now. And I praise God that no man is in control of what is happening on earth today. God is. And he will allow man to go as long as he has grace to allow him to go. But there's a day coming when the Lord will say, "That's it. I've had enough." The day of grace is ended, and my wrath will come upon those who refuse to bow the knee before my Son Jesus. Dear brothers, sisters, friends, I pray that everybody in here this morning has already been before the very throne of grace and humbleness before Almighty God, and who have said, "Father, forgive me, because there have been many sins in my life. I have tried to live my life my way, and it just doesn't work out." Jesus, in your awesomeness, in your power, would you forgive even me? Lord, would you allow me to be born again of your Spirit? Lord, would you wash me in the blood of Christ? Would you make me a new creation in Jesus? Because I want to be sure, Lord. I want to be sure that when the heavens open and you come down, Lord, that I'm before your throne of grace. It's one of yours. And not one who is against you. Folks, my heart is heavy this morning because I know there's at least one person in here who hasn't done that. My heart's heavy because at this present time, that person or persons are bound for hell. And remember what I said, God's heart is that none would perish, that none would feel his wrath, that everyone would be with him in heaven. That's God's heart's desire. But man is sinful and rebellious right from the start. But he's given us a way back. He's putting his hand out to you this morning and he's saying, "Will you take my hand? Give me your life and live with me forever." I don't know about you folks, I think that's an offer that we cannot afford to refuse. But you know something? God has given us free will. And he's left it up to every individual to make up your own mind. So it's back to yourself. Where are you going to be when the heavens are rendered? Are you going to be in Christ where there is safety? Or are you going to be in the world where it's hell and damnation? So put it to you. But there's a way out, folks. There's a way out, and God is offering it now. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed, O God, that you are indeed a God of grace and love and mercy. You are indeed a God who loves us, Lord, and you, your heart, Lord, is that no one should perish, that all would come to Christ, that all would be secure in him. But Lord, we are born with this sinful nature, this nature that is rebellious against God. And Father God, I pray that the person or persons in here this morning who have not bowed the knee before you, that today is their day, Lord. That they might forget those all round about them, Lord, that they might come to your very throne of grace and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please accept me into your family, that I indeed can be a son or a daughter of the living God and spend eternity with him in heaven." I pray that if God is speaking to you this morning, you don't leave this place without speaking to myself or one of the deacons within the church. Don't leave here today unsure. Make certain that you know that you're in Christ for all eternity, and that whatever happens, when the time comes, when it's death, or indeed the return of Jesus for his own, that you find yourself in him. Not just for now, but for all eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for our time together this morning. We thank you, Father, for our time of praise and worship. We pray, Lord God, that it was acceptable to you. But Father, we thank you for your word. This word, Lord, is like a two-edged sword, and it just cuts through the very heart, Lord. Because your word, like you, Lord, is powerful and majestic. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you. We magnify your holy and worthy name. We say, Lord, please move in power among us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts this morning, Lord, please. And Lord, as we go to a time of tea, I believe, at the moment, and the consuming, perhaps, of these lovely goods to my left here, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would bless that time to us. Bless that fellowship to us, Father. Let you be in our conversations. And then later, Lord, as we depart from this place, we pray, Lord, that you would part us with your blessing until we return. And Father, we look forward to this evening, to what you have to say to us again this evening, Father. And may all the praise and